You are listening to That You May Grow, a podcast brought to you by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. My name is Preston McElyea, and I am one of the ministers as well as one of the hosts for this particular podcast. And with me today, as always, is my fellow minister and fellow co-host, Brother Jared Hammond.
Good morning, or afternoon, evening, whichever it is that you will be listening to this. We're glad to be here with you, and thankful for another opportunity to look at God's Word and see where we can grow in our lives and our Christianity closer to God, hopefully every single day.
In this particular season, we've had some pretty good feedback so far, I think. Several have mentioned some of the episodes and everything, and said they've enjoyed having the different guests with us in here to have these conversations about different aspects of the work.
Probably because they're tired of hearing us, and they're just glad to be hearing somebody else.
Whatever it takes. That's I understand. I don't like listening to myself either. Someone asked me the other day, and they said they apologized because they hadn't listened to the episode for that week, and I told them, well, neither have I. But anyway, we are thankful to all of you who have been listening to us, and those of you who may be tuning in for the first time. We're grateful for all of you who join us as we go through on all of these episodes. And today, we have another special guest with us here in the studio. He wears a size 12, so go ahead and put your size 12 tennis shoes on, because you can't know them until you walk a mile in their shoes. But we will let him introduce himself.
Well, hello, everyone out there that's listening. My name is Jeff Watley, and I'm an associate minister there at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. I've known these two gentlemen and brothers in Christ for several years, and I'm excited to be here and study with them and share a couple thoughts with you.
One thing that you may not know about Brother Watley is that he is the sermonator, and he has a T-shirt to prove it.
Oh, well, that was not the only one. That was a gift. And me and Chris got one. But I think Chris can really, he can just tear, you know, do a great job sermonating, but I can ruin or destroy any sermon maybe. So maybe it's both ends of the spectrum. But thank you for bringing up that shirt. It's always fun to wear it.
Those listening in, you know, if you're not familiar with this area, Jeff and Chris are in Mount Pleasant. We, of course, are here in Mount Vernon. We're pretty close and often referred to as sister congregations with all the different things that we have going on between the two of us. And we're just so glad to have you here, Jeff, and grateful for the work that you and Chris are doing over at North Jefferson. I know you are making a tremendous impact on the community in that area, and we're grateful to have you here with us today. Looking forward to talking about a topic of encouragement.
All right. I'm very excited to bring this one, because if one of the things that we always need is to be encouraged. I can just think back 12 years ago or so, when going to minister school, preaching school that is, and how difficult it could be. Mm-hmm. And I think then it began that I felt like the most encouraged Christian that's ever been. I tell you, I don't know how those times when you're trying to make that marathon, which in just 2 years you have a lifetime of knowledge, but to know how much encouragement was shown, even to get there and then remain there and then taking that step, I want to share some of the ideas that had helped me continue to change from a worldly view into a godly view, and it takes encouragement to do so. One of the first things I can say is that, you know, the instruction of God's Word corrects us. And correction may mold us, but it's encouragement that motivates us, and it gives us the proper heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so necessary in the way that we sometimes get so scholastic. But remember that we can do those things without love. It profits mm-hmm. nothing. So, and to use what we can, and I believe all of us can be an encourager.
Yeah, that's a great point to bring out, is always remembering to keep love in it.
Yeah.
And love, I mean, without love, we really can't encourage. There's no way to do that. I know something I've been studying recently in preparation for a sermon I've been working on, dealing with going to try to help restore those who are erring. Just the point that when it is that whenever one has strayed away, there are several options that we could take. One is just to completely ignore it. One is to just kind of wash our hands of them. One is to go talk to them. But if you don't do it in love, you're just going to drive them further away And another is to go in love and let them know you care, and in the process, encourage them to do the right thing.
I think the idea is beseeching that. We can go into a word study. I don't want to get, you know, geeky over the Greeky. But those one or two words that we really look up, and I just think it's really important to look up that word because it has a verb meaning and, of course, a noun meaning. You know, you have that parakaleo that can be translated. I don't want to go into all the case endings, but the idea that is what para alongside and mm-hmm. kaleo to call. So you're calling one person or another, bringing them near, mm-hmm. and so that you're there to be what also the noun means, and that paraclete is that one that's an advocate and helper. And comforts. Mm-hmm. And so the two words, when you just do a word study itself, brings them in the New Testament, in the whole Bible really, but the New Testament especially is saturated in this word. We're to be, preach the word, be instant in season and out, right? And when, what did that one preacher say? You need to preach it when they wants to hear it, when they don't wants to hear it. But it tells us how. And it says to, you know, reprove. We're going to give evidences. Mm-hmm. It says we're going to rebuke, and we're going to sometimes say that that isn't right, correction. But that third one is so important, and if there was going to do a 33%, it's got to be that balance to exhort, mm-hmm. to encourage. But it has to be in the proper balance. You know, we can do things to encourage one another, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. But still, I don't want to neglect the idea. If I go off and say so much about encouragement that the truth spoken in love
right.
can sometimes be received as a rebuke when it was done and as a beseeching, in that same word using, I plead with you, I urge with you, I care so much that I must tell you this, but it has to come off in a way that's sincere, and more than ever, there has to be a relationship built before you can even, you brought up an erring brother, and so that's the part that's really one of the hardest things to ever do, because they know the word already, they're choosing not to, and it's usually because of letdown, either by themselves to God or by others, even other Christians. But to try to encourage them to see once again that it's not God that ever lets us down, and to go back to the guidance of the proof is in living for Him, that we can see that there's great encouragement in God's Word. Yes, it can give us that. I don't want to be belittling a whooping sometimes, but it steps on our toes. But it has that idea that it gives us great evidence to believe and to live by. It gives us the correction that we need to respond to. But also the word is full of encouragement that draws us closer to God and each other.
You mentioned in that the importance of having a relationship that's already there and already formed. And I think if we're all honest, whenever it is that somebody encourages us, no matter who it is, it makes us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can be encouraged by those who we may not really know all that well, that may just say a kind word or two to us and thank us for something, and we appreciate that, but it means so much more when it's your grandmother that's encouraging you, right? Because there's a deep relationship there, and so I appreciate how you bring that out about making sure you have that relationship in place.
That was mainly in all aspects, you know. I mean, from, I don't know where John Moore got it from, but I think everything we learn, these quotes kind of stick, but he said that rules without that relationship equals rebellion. And so to either in trying to get someone to listen to the gospel in a way that's going to change their life or restore such a one that is fallen or out of step, it has to be in such a way that it's saturated with the word, because if they have a response that is just to the messenger, not the message, in the way we handle it, then we can have some responsibility. But if we keep going back to the word and saying, can I just share this with you, then the rejection is not of us, because I feel like, you know, Samuel was told by God, they're not rejecting you.
Mm-hmm.
They're rejecting me,
right.
You know. And so everybody has a king in their life. Our goal is to encourage them to make Jesus that king.
Absolutely.
And so, and he's the king that is meek and lowly, and there's work to be done, and take that yoke upon him. But who other would you rather be yoked to than one that says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light?
That's right. You know, I was thinking about Hebrews chapter 10. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we'll go to it, the idea of not forsaking the assembly.
Yes.
But also within that, it comes with that idea of encouraging one another, and it ties back to what you were saying about to call alongside.
Yes.
And it's one of those areas we readily recognize when we come together as a body of believers and we worship God together, it's almost as if we're arm in arm and we're bearing each other's burdens and we're talking to each other about the things that are, you know, causing problems in our life, and we can gain that encouragement one from another and help strengthen us right through the week. And at times it seems almost that it can just become more so about, okay, I'm going to come together on the first day of the week. I'm going to get that encouragement from my brethren and then shoot back out into the world. And there's still so much more encouraging that can actually go on between Sundays, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know, it's somewhat my mind. That's kind of one of those areas I thought we might try and reach into in this time in this podcast, even beyond Sundays, right?
Yes.
We're still to be a people that encourage one another all the rest of the 6 days of the week, right? And hopefully we can kind of discuss some of those areas and hows and we go, you know, how we go about doing that.
Oh, there's be a lot of areas we could discuss on that. We do what we call reach teams. It's a compassion card ministry. I can't tell you how much I appreciated this congregation here when I was being restored back to the faith. It was almost like a restart, more or less, didn't restore because I had fallen out of line with college and different things. But to receive so many cards, that was even back then, you know, if you haven't received a card from Sue Boland, I don't know if you live in Northeast Texas. And so the actual ministry where a handwritten letter means so much. We're in a day and age where there's texting. And for younger people, that's fine. And for some of us that are real busy, texting works. But the encouragement needs to be heard and sometimes read because those cards come in with a picture. Or we're doing one just the other day for Mother's Day, all handwritten cards for our mothers and the women of the congregation. And to see the time placed in it and put to whoever signed it, it's that relationship that's encouraging us because there's so many ways we can do it and to try to find a way in which we do it. I think what you're – and I get so random, and please excuse me. But I really appreciate our elders at the moment there at North Jefferson because I think they looked at Acts 2 a lot, especially Brother Garth and the idea that they met together daily. And so our schedule seems to be that there is something every day after services where you can be a part of something. And y'all with our Bible Bowl, especially when that's kicked off summer series, and there's ways that we could be together because in this life, I keep – this is the random part. I keep thinking of us sometimes. And do you ever look up in the sky and when it gets to be – the fall and the winter's coming in, and you see the birds flying south for the winter, and you'll see them, and especially the geese or the ducks, they're like in a V-shaped. And I was asked, you know, Jeff, you know, why is that one leg longer than the other? Did you know why, Preston?
Why is it?
Well, there's more ducks on that side. That's what he told me. But the whole thing is that when you're walking, it's something, if you studied it, it's like they can go 70% more lift from the ones behind them in part of that V formation in the way they do it to go that much further. But the part about encouragement is the ones that are making the sounds usually are the ones in the back honking at the ones in the front saying, you know, basically in their own language, I believe, that God's, you know, God has put it in them to encourage one another. And I can hear them honking as they go by. I'm thinking, what if we just – as we come together in this kind of formation to fly closer and closer, we're striving to get, you know, beyond just our skies, heavenly, but to fly and be positive honkers in the back. Because you're going to have backseat drivers sometimes in this life, but positive ones that are saying, we can get there, we can go there. And to fly alone, I don't think these birds could. And that's just another lesson for us that if we try to do this on our own, I believe Satan's so powerful. He's had us to be in this formation or being holy stones that are built together and knit together and to form this connection. And then, of course, to encourage us each and every, I would say, step, but flap of the way.
Well, you mentioned Acts chapter 2 in there, and I had that pulled up, actually, before you even mentioned it, because I was thinking about that verse 46, the daily they're meeting in the temple or breaking bread house to house. And it's like you can't read Acts 2 and verse 46 without hearing the sounds of laughter and talking going on in a full multi-purpose room or annex or auditorium or whatever it might be. It's just you read it and you can hear that sound of fellowship and encouragement taking place.
Oh, it's a great opportunity for all people to serve in any form in a worship service, but even given the privilege to do announcements and feeling like, you know, I guess I've never garnered that much attention in a way to where I want to be the center of it, so don't get me wrong, but the attention where you stand up there to start the announcements and you hear just the fellowship and feeling like you've got to be the one to break it up and say, please find a seat, we're about to begin.
You because almost feel bad doing so.
I know, because it sounds so good. And if you were ever up there, and I guess everybody facing one way, it just sounds great. If there was ever a thing we could record and maybe go to sleep to for soothing sounds, it'd be the laughter and conversations.
Yeah, you get encouraged to hear everybody else being encouraged.
Yeah, and it's just – and to miss that is so much. Even when we never stopped during COVID, but a lot of things had to be done via online. And one of the things that was brought to our attention is missing one another. And so when we when some couldn't still make it back due to health or other reasons, we kind of tended to want to fade back at the very end to see those that were present, because it's not just the message. It's not just the partaking of the Lord's Supper together. These are all important acts. These are praying together, all these things. Our singing together is mostly encouraging and edifying one to another. Mm-hmm. But just being in the presence of other people that are striving to do what's right, you can't get that connection, and you miss it so much. And so that's the encouragement. It's sad that it can be so encouragement just to be there in worship, but not to be there when you should has just a much different effect, you know.
You know, that a lot of the time I feel like, and this is my own opinion, so it's probably not worth even 2 cents, but a lot of the times I think people, even outside of just that gathering and the encouragement you receive there, it's almost like we just don't realize how much it can help somebody by saying just a few words to them. We have such a wonderful opportunity, especially when we're gathered together, but even throughout the week, just to be able to see a brother in Christ and say, hey, I'm so thankful for this or for that, the things that you're doing. And I really think that that kind of encouragement is almost infectious. Like you talked about even back to school, right?
Yeah.
You went Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Press and I, of course, went to Brown Trail, but some of the most encouraging times of my life were at Brown Trail, because there were so many people who were turning and trying to help us along the way, and we got so much encouragement through that time. And you can't help but to try and turn and encourage others. You know, and all it takes is a few people starting that ball rolling of being encouragers, and it becomes something that is very much like, I hate to use the word plague because that sounds very negative, but it's infectious. It begins to spread, and all it takes, you know, is one person saying, you know what, I'm going to try and encourage as many people as I can this week. And you start seeing that grow within the congregation.
Oh, yes. I tell you, with the encouragement we can give to one another, and when you need it and it's received, mm-hmm. and you can't help but want to reciprocate that, not only be thankful to the person that gave it, but to another person when you see it and you're alert and paying attention, because I believe there are keys. We are so, I don't know, accustomed to saying, how are you doing? And it's a meaning of hi, but really here in Northeast Texas it taught me, it's not rhetorical. You mm-hmm. need to ask it. So the meaning of, okay, now listen. Be ready for them to say, and not just say something in a way that you're passing on, but give everybody deserve, you know, that time, that attention, and it is infectious. Somebody said that encouragement is kind of like that sunshine that mm-hmm. that is into the heart and gives us confidence and hope. And so who wouldn't want to have that sunshine, that, and I would say almost S-O-N shine,
mm-hmm.
you know, that sunshine that are light reflectors of the encouragement that God has given you in those darkest moments, that maybe you can reflect that light in such a way that in words do have a powerful effect. Me oftentimes revert to silliness and try to be funny, have self-deprecated and say these things, and sometimes after time saying it again, I feel bad that in being funny you've belittled something. But I think people, the more you say things in a sincere tone to encourage them, you can see a whole difference in the way that their walk, their gait changes, that they have a better stride. It's something to where you see the shoulders go back. It's something where we need that. And I think there's languages of love and words of affirmation. But I think some people don't need it as much. It's because their heart is seeing it as flattery. And some people take that as hogwash. I heard one guy say, I take flattery as hogwash. And correction as compliments. And I can see the correction as compliments because they want you to do better. But to think hogwash on a flattery, I could see that. But I meant this as encouragement,
mm-hmm.
not flattery.
Right.
But a lot of times you're the one that's going out trying to seek others to serve in forms of devos or other things. Sometimes I need to really tone down the idea of, have I told you how much I appreciated you? And I really, if I come at that kind of tone, they know, what do you want?
Right. And so
there is a sense in which people can read that. But really a good thing when you take them aside and it's not in front of others and you're saying, you know what, I've been impressed. You've been an example of this or that, and be specific. Don't just try to throw these things. Because, you know, when you preach a lesson, it's something where you thought you did a good job and no one says anything. You thought you did real bad and someone comes up and says, oh, you did great. And it was kind of encouraging, but, you know, I liked your lesson. Well, what did you like? I just liked it. Well, sister, you got to be honest. I know how it went.
You know, you mentioned in that about the aspect that real encouragement is not just that flattery.
Yes.
And there's a difference there.
Yeah.
I think about what Paul would say to the brethren in Thessalonica. And, of course, Thessalonica, especially 1 Thessalonians, you're dealing with babes in Christ.
Yes.
So Paul has been with the brethren for a short time. He's trying to help build them up, encourage them. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5, neither at any time did we use flattering words. Right? They were never trying to butter the brethren up for anything. But instead, in a few verses there in chapter 2, he talks about they were gentle, like a nursing mother cherishing her own children. What's more encouraging than a mother with her children? Right? Everything the mother does is going to be for the betterment of the child because she loves the child. She wants the child to excel in everything the child does. Well, that's what Paul says it was like. How encouraging must that have been, you know, to have had that experience with Paul and to recognize he's not just doing this to get something from me, but he actually wants me to succeed.
Oh, that's when they realize that the whole goal has always been to think souls, to think a person's soul. I love the idea that you may grow, that spiritual growth. If we could call each other to our size, but our whole goal is to draw each and every person that we meet and ourselves closer to God and everything that we say. I think it's great that he encouraged them as that nurturing caregiver and not as they were pulled to it with the encouragement. Now, Paul, I do say, if you would see the sandwich sometimes that we give as parents, where you encourage someone in the beginning with words of not affirmation, but of the grace, peace, and hope that is in Christ, and then come back and tell them things that we need to instruct, but then come back with that exhortment that we can do it. It's kind of like Paul would start with these things and say that, you know what, this is who you are, so therefore, go be who you are. Be what you should be. Don't think that God has made us in such a way and found our purpose and encouraged us in so many ways to think that we just heard it, pat ourselves on the back. We put that encouragement in our pocket and not use it for what it's intended, and that's the purpose to fuel us on. Like I said, every flap of the way, I want to keep going.
It seems like so much of encouragement requires positivity, that if you're stuck in the negative of things, it's hard to be encouraged, and it's pretty much impossible to encourage. But if you're able to look at the positives, you know, this may not be as good as it should be right now, like you talk about with the sandwich, the way Paul does so much. Things may not be the best right now, but positivity says, but we can get there.
We can get there.
We can make it better.
Amen.
And that's, I mean, without that positivity, you can't have the encouragement.
You know, we can fight, finish, keep. What an epitaph for Paul at the very end of 2 Timothy. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. And that's our goal, to encourage those things, because I think each person can be a balcony person that looks at things with a higher goal of looking up toward God and fueling it and wanting to bring others up. But each one of us can also be a basement and actually thinking that it's easier, and it is, to bring others down. And we have to make up our mind each day which one we're going to be. And it says the same, I don't know if you've heard it, I have, that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. But I'm telling you, when your heart's broken, it just seems that strain is pulling it down. That's why we still almost every lesson, if not every lesson, ended with Brother Dalton Gray's shake hands with a smile, and they just might smile back. If we do the encouragement in a sincere way and point out things that are What would Paul say in 2 Corinthians 11:1, that be followers or imitators of Christ, right? But follow him as he imitates those. Mm-hmm. And so I think even Philippians 3:17, mark those that walk accordingly as you have them as a pattern. Why not try to do that infectious, positive outlook? Because sometimes I've heard it said, and I'm all about cliches, you know, your outcome is usually determined by your outlook. And if your outlook is down, then why not try your uplook? It is wise to take, you can look up God in the Bible, but the idea of looking up in just our prayers and in our life and realizing that what we're a citizen of, in that Philippians 3, I told you already about verse 17, the pattern, goes on to be a citizenship of something higher. Mm-hmm. And if our goals is always higher than what our present situation is, then we're able to overcome it and we don't get stuck in that present. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be presently involved, but the present situation, if it's a problem, if somehow we can turn it into an opportunity and view it that way as a children's home, and there'll be a lot of stress. But the director at the time, Wayne Bartley, would say, anytime we thought we had a problem, oh, no. Opportunity. Opportunity. Sometimes it felt like a problem, but he'd say, no. It's an opportunity. And it does. The way we cachet things in a positive light, even though it's a struggle, to realize we're not alone. And people want to be around someone that brings up, I would hope, than someone that pulls down. Mm-hmm. And if we do that together, it is reciprocal. It is infectious. And we can continue on.
I think very much the encourager carries with it that idea of what you see in Philippians 2, mm-hmm. You know, the beginning of Philippians 2. And it's very much so as one who's not so focused on self as they are on others and what's best for others. And it points ultimately to the mind of Christ there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that kind of gets our attention away from our own problems that may be going on in our life, looking at other people and seeing something good going on elsewhere and trying to use that as motivation, go and encourage other people. You know, and we'd be amiss if we did not stop and talk a little bit about Barnabas, encourager, the son of encouragement. And, of course, a guy, it starts out with us learning about Barnabas there in Acts chapter 4, and it's pointing to the fact that his heart is pure. It's in the right place, right? He brought a gift before the apostles and laid it down at their feet with not any kind of ulterior motive or anything of that nature, just because he wanted to do something good. And, of course, he receives that name, the son of encouragement. So in what ways could we try and help others to be a Barnabas? In what ways can people look in their own life and say, you know what, here's some things I can do to start walking in that direction to be a, you know, an encourager?
Wow. I think the main thing, you nailed it already, and is that Barnabas' outlook was always of a giver. He's not taking anything. He wants to give. He came a long distance, which you call a Hellenistic Jew, even of a heritage of a Levite, and you come all the way to worship and think that, hey, I could have a part, I should have a part based on my heritage of serving the temple, but because he wasn't born in a certain area and because he was from a different region, he wasn't allowed to participate in certain ways. And most people think, well, I'm taking my toys and going home. And instead, he got what he had there in that area, and he was able to give. Now, and so parts in the cities, if there was a portion of land coming up and being a Levite, you know, they had cities, they didn't have things, but he still was able to take what property was there and give that to the, and not say, well, this is what I'm given and I get to choose what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many people want to,
right.
You know, and so the thing is giving with the idea that I trust you. And one encouragement it is to give someone a gift that for God's glory, to be used for God's glory and trust him to do it in God's glory. And he is such a giver, and that's one thing about encouragement. It's something that it's truly better to give than to receive. I think it, on so many things, Acts 20:35, I tell you, it's something easier to try to encourage somebody if you're looking for the things that encourage you by their actions that are positive and highlight those than being the person that's in need of that encouragement, because sometimes it doesn't come. And you have to find it and realize that it always came with the most encourager of all, Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes we need that, not just the head to encourage us. We need the body of Christ to encourage us. Right. And sometimes it doesn't come. But if you're seeing the impact that you can make and you're giving that and trying to live like Barnabas was, whatever he had, he was going to give. And most of the time what he had after giving the monetary was he had some credibility, and what he continued to always give was encouragement to others that might not have had that same credibility with those that – but if Barnabas was supporting you, then they already would begin to listen. If it was mm-hmm. Paul, if it was even John Mark mm-hmm. that was sent away one time right. neglecting the ministry, he's going to come back and say, let's go again. And that's the one thing, is that we're going to fail sometimes, but we need that. What I loved about Barnabas being my favorite – I'm going to jump ahead – is that he continued on – to take people and want to help them become better. Mm-hmm. And that's what encouragement does. It's not to let fear stifle, but to overcome that fear. And that's what encouragement is. It's to be a good cheer, But I really believe the call on one side is that we're not doing this alone, and we're going against the fear that I believe everybody has in their lives, some way or another, and it manifested in so many ways. But it, together, perfect love casts out what?
Yeah, fear. Cast out that fear.
And so we got to be called together to have it.
I'm reminded of a lesson I heard one time, and it may have been Brother John McCormick, and I don't remember. He may have mentioned as well that it may not have been original points to him, and I don't even remember what all the points of the sermon were, but it had something to do with the idea of, are you a songbird or are you a vulture?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to show up when things are bad, and they're going to be there to scavenge, but some people are going to be there through the good or the bad and have that beautiful song to put in your ear. And Barnabas was far from a vulture.
No.
He was a songbird. You mentioned there the situation with John Mark. And, you know, a lot of people would have been there just to keep putting him down. And how could you? You had a great opportunity, and you messed it up. But Barnabas was there to say, hey, let's keep going.
Yeah.
You know, don't get down. Don't give up. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. And a lot of times we need that in our own lives. But are we taking advantage of the opportunities that are before us to be that for somebody else?
I wonder how much work is not being done, because the person that could be best at it or could be a very good helper is not being encouraged to do so.
Mm-hmm.
We generally encourage it, but taking the time to personally go out and say, you know what, I see this quality. Could you help me along with this? And that's what true discipleship is. It's not just a disciple to discipline, to instruct, to guide, to mold. It's to take them alongside as an apprentice and say, come on, we can do this together.
Paul and Timothy.
Yeah, and so it's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And was Timothy discouraged at times? Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you read 2 Timothy and say, you're not given the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then it goes on to say once again to stir up, to encourage, to stir up that fire that is in you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great feeling to know that Paul had the ability to teach, and he wasn't someone that was soft. He could be very direct. At the same time, it came with the love also to encourage, and then to know the encouragement I know Paul received back, because when he sent Timothy to places like Thessalonica, there's no one that has a more heart for your mm-hmm. needs, and I can't wait to hear back of what he has to say. And so it's that reciprocation of receiving it and knowing the difference it made in your life. And that's one thing about anybody's walk. I think if people have not been grown up, because it's a true blessing to grow up in the church and to have that encouragement by your parents and see it every day, but also to be called out of the world and know what lost really feels like
mm-hmm.
and to see the encouragement it takes, then you'll never forget that story, because you're going to come across people that need that same amount. And it hit me hard. What if the person that led you to Christ was as evangelistic, or dare you say, as encouraging for Christ's purpose as you are today? And it hits you hard. If you're not trying to do that, then why not? Because if the person that led you was that much, and you can be a parent and you're doing your very best to teach them and mold them. And I said, correction, it molds us. But it's that encouragement that motivates us. And see, there's a difference in that, because doing something just because you're told and doing something because your heart's all into it makes all the difference. And that's what people need to see.
Absolutely. You know, just by thinking about areas that are, you know, where we can receive encouragement, for people who have not, and it could be for a variety of reasons why they haven't, but for people who have not really participated in the gospel, per se, you know, people come into Christianity, and it can take a while before you get comfortable in trying to reach other people.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the greatest sources of encouragement is being part of that spreading of the gospel.
Oh.
In my mind, it's one of the greatest sources of encouragement we get through our work and our participation in that fellowship that we have in the gospel. And, you know, tying back to kind of what you were saying a while ago, even with how many people are capable of so much more if they just had a little bit of encouragement, how many people could be doing so much more work for the kingdom if they were just receiving that little bit of encouragement, and even if they just tasted what good can come from sharing the gospel with other people. That's one of the most encouraging things, you know, I think about when it comes to Christianity.
It lights the fire. We've had five, and one right now waiting on, and we never to be baptized and know the need is immediate. But this will be the fourth one that it takes a lift from the wellness center to make it possible because of paralysis. Mm. And to try to juggle these things when they have nurses and different things and you're trying to be as immediate as possible is a struggle. But to let any obstacle get in the way, or those you try to study or those you try to invite, don't ever let your no's be the ones that keep you from goes. Because sometimes we got to keep on going, because that one that you have, that just based on God's word, it's all God, but you being able to help share it, when they commit through that, through just not the idea of saying that Jesus is the Lord, but knowing the understanding of repentance and knowing what it means to confess and knowing what it means to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and when they hit that water and come up, it's the most invigorating thing, most encouraging thing you'd ever feel. Mm-hmm. And until we help them feel that, mm-hmm. I don't know. But one's not enough. Right. But if every one of us led one,
right,
because the Great Commission to the apostles for us all, but it's sad because of something else that was negative, because someone else didn't say, you can do it, or why don't you do it with me, and say that, and see that joy that comes from it, because it's going to be – there's more that don't respond in the way that you would ever pray and hope than mm-hmm. they do. But I'm telling you, the one that does has such an impact mm-hmm. that you forget every negative one you've had.
That kind of goes back to taking somebody and helping them and,
yes,
and showing
just come
them.
Come along and, with us. Right. And that's what the card ministry does. It shows you the power of somebody visiting just based on some cards that you had helped part in. And that's something we can all do. I think life has made us even more busy, but just technology should have freed up more time. It's cost us. But the idea that we can take a moment to disconnect and to do what is encouraging and to see the fruit that comes from it is something that you can't help but want to do 100-fold. And it's just getting that past the moment of, I don't know what to say. Well, show them the Bible. I don't know what to do. Well, in a private setting, what helped you become a Christian? Share that. Mm-hmm. First, ask it a question. What do you think about God? What do you think about his son, Jesus? And are you saved? And let them. And so we have so many techniques that Brother Rob Whitaker does that breaks it down in ways to where I think one of the most neglected thing is evangelism, because we've had so many people say that it's my example that should lead them. And I say amen to that. Your example is what catches their eye. Their relationships would bring them near. But we also have to be ready to share the gospel message, and it's the greatest love story of all. It's the most encouraging thing. Why would it be called the good news?
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
Not bad.
Right.
But when it comes to changing a life, something good that way. And I don't mean to get on tangents. I get so excited. I'm sorry, but or I apologize. But I do think that if we could get them to feel that mm-hmm. that what it's like to help lead someone to a commitment to the God and to the Lord and to the Spirit. All those things, it's the most mm-hmm. encouraging thing you can have.
I think back still to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, where we saw Barnabas mm-hmm. as well, and just that example of the early church. You see the fellowship there, the way that they're giving, the way that they're continually with one another building those relationships, and you know that encouragement is there throughout it. But like you're talking about with evangelism and how it can be a challenge, especially if you've never done it before, but to be able to know that I don't have to do this by myself. You know, this might be the first Bible study I've sat in, but I've got Brother so-and-so with me. I've got Sister so-and-so with me, and they've done this before, and I know that they're going to back me up. I know that they're going to help me when I get into the difficult situation, or even just to see how they do it, and then for them to be able to say the next time, you're ready. You can do it. And, I mean, that's encouragement right there, just to know you don't have to do everything by yourself. You don't have to do everything alone, because you've got a family that's right there with you, that's Amen. There to help you.
Amen. And the most, I guess, alone people would feel was at the workplace that isn't, you know, secular world, or at school, where they feel like they're trying to reach that one person. But still, you're not alone, because if you're trying to reach that one person, shows that you care, you have a relationship with them, and don't let this anxiety of feeling how they might respond hinder you from doing it, because that's just the devil. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you say it in the most loving way and you have this relationship, even if they deny or try to move along without a visitation of your congregation or worship, they'll respect you, I promise, in the way that you at least asked. And no. so don't ever let that, and don't, if we go so long with that relationship and we never asked, boy, that song you never mentioned to me comes to my mind. And so the idea that encouragement could be in the way we live, the way we help when help is needed. But it's always with the point. I think everything we do, someone said, it seems like a secular philosopher, that no one does anything for nothing. Mm. But what if that something was to please God? Mm-hmm. What if that something was the soul being saved? I don't want anything else from you. Silver and gold, I don't want. Mm-hmm. But your soul to just listen for a moment, because it's the most important thing you'll ever need to know. Right. And that's what Jesus says. Because, the word's written in red. There's one that does not receive my words, yea, rejection. The word which I spoke will judge him in the last day. And that scared me when I didn't know what the words were. I'm going to be judged by something I don't know. And that's why I wanted to do our very best and to do it saturated in encouragement and try to make relationships, because that's where we get them. And I have one quote that came by this William Arthur Ward, and it kind of like it says, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me, I may not forgive you, but encourage me and I will not forget you. It's the things that we say sometimes even get forgotten. The things we do, we hoped if it wasn't right, but a lot of times they remember. But it's the things and how we made people feel is what they never forget. Right. And that's where the encouragement comes in. It's how you can attach to the heart, and the more deposits you put in there with sincere, genuine encouragement, it overcomes. I think encouragement of like, here goes food, like peanut butter. Like you're making a peanut butter sandwich. I would say peanut butter and jelly, but sometimes just it's all I got. But if the more you spread it, the more you spread that peanut butter around, the better things stick together. I'm telling you. And you spread that encouragement around, and it's like that's one of the rules we had. There's only three rules that I had at the cottage at the children's home, because I believe rules are for your protection. And there's a lot of expectations, but God's rules are for our protection, and so was ours. And that first one was, no hurts. There's not going to be any hurts, physical or verbal. Hmm. Number two, we stick together. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together. And number three is the rule. They're like, oh, no, what's next? Have fun. It's a rule in this house. We're going to enjoy the journey. And if we just make that a commitment, and that's the encouragement, is even in the tough times, we're understanding that here goes. It's an opportunity. It's a hard one. But it's part of our journey. And let's turn it into something that we grow from.
I like that. Have you preached that before?
No.
You should preach that.
I preached that with the kids, but they didn't, and even the hardest ones, they didn't have a faith in God. And this is what, honor your father and mother, and you shall live long on this earth. It's the first commandment we promise. No, there's four more, but it's the first one we promise that you'll live long. It's better for you. But when those that are supposed to care for you, and most do, but what about those that don't? But if you continue to show what God's word has done in your life and continue to encourage them that things can get better, it's amazing that hard heart tends to, and that's why I think it means, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Because if you're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them drink. And what you're doing is trying to make that hardened heart more palatable, more pliable, better yet. And it works.
Well, Jeff, we really appreciate you coming in and speaking with us. I know when we were talking about people we wanted to have in for episodes this particular season, you can even see up on the whiteboard over there, that we had Chris Grota, but we also had your name down.
Oh, man.
And you were an easy one for Jared and I to decide, what are we going to talk about with Jeff? And, you can't think about Jeff Watley without thinking about Barnabas.
Oh.
And so we're thankful for you, brother.
I feel the same about you guys. Y'all are just the glue.
Well, now you're just flattering us.
I know, but you're the glue. I think those ones it takes, you just got to appreciate the glue.
Well, Jeff, we have a couple of questions that we've been asking our guests at the end of each episode.
Mother's maiden name, last four digits, social security number.
If you'd write that down, we'll put that in the show notes.
Leave us a credit card also.
No.
But, Jeff, what is your favorite book of the Bible?
Well, I've said it before because people have asked me that, and I said it's whatever I'm studying at the moment, because I think I have a favorite. But the one I've really dug in the most was probably Philippians, only because, the idea that we want to be happy and to realize that the whole rejoicing is not just in the inward happiness, but it's an outward contentment with God, it works on our inward. And so I think Philippians would be my favorite one. And more than any, I thought it was about being happy, but the more I studied it, it's all about unity. And that's what encouragement does, brings unity.
Absolutely. So one more question.
Okay.
Who is your favorite person of the Bible? Can't go with Jesus because that's the obvious number one, you know, you might go to, but other names of the Bible, who would be your favorite?
Oh, I mean, we all think Paul and Peter at times because of things they were able to do and say, but by far it's Barnabas because I think it's something we and somebody we can all be. You know, we can all be all of them. But, I mean, it's something to where if we start with this, Barnabas, it's amazing that we can encourage others to be Barnabases. Mm-hmm. And that's, once again, it's all about unity and trying to get to heaven together. And we need Barnabases.
That's right. Yeah,
that's important how you mentioned that that's somebody we can all be.
Yeah.
We may not be the most eloquent speaker. We may not be the most gifted writer. We may not be the best teacher. We may not be wanting to do those out front roles. That just may not be who we are. But we can all say a kind word. We can all encourage. We can all write that letter. We can all send that text, make that phone call, whatever it is. We're all able to be like Barnabas if we put our minds to it.
And the number one thing is to be that Barnabas is to not make the call, but it's called to one side. Be there in presence. Be present with those that you care about. And I think it's great, you know, that Barnabas is one that I always felt like he was present. And he was there to take even a problem, a disagreement, and flip it to where we continued on in two different ways. But the only way it was going was Jesus was the way. They were just going two different directions to share that way. And so I think there's so many ways that I think that Joseph or Joseph, even his birth name, I always wondered how that's tie in. But, you know, God increases. And if we can live that idea that he became Barnabas, son of encouragement, but to live in such a way that gives increase, and I believe we do that through encouragement.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality is there are so many opportunities throughout the day to encourage people, so many different avenues you could take. You could easily, if you got access into a nursing home or a hospital, I know y'all do stuff there at the hospital, just to go through and say, hey, I am so-and-so, and is there anything that I can pray for you about, right? Is there anything, you know, something of that nature? So many ways that we can encourage people, and all it takes is just making your mind up. You know what? I'm going to take a step in that direction, and I'm going to find somebody just to see how they're doing, whether it's a neighbor saying, can I help you with something today? Can, you know, all kinds of ways. And in doing so, of course, we're shining the light of God, and they're seeing him through us. And at the end of the day, that's, you know, what we're hopeful to do each and every day.
Oh, amen. I think the main thing that Barnabas was, and you read through scripture, and the way that we should be is just available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know that you're just one call away. Know that you're not aloof or just that you're present and available. And that just think the encouragement of Job's three friends when he had everything collapse. Now, after that first week, he kind of maybe – but that first week, they were just there.
Yeah.
You know, and so – but the encouragement of whatever we do to bring strength, to bring courage, that this does, too, not have to be the way it is. And I haven't found the scripture, but the principle's there. When it comes to problems, this too shall pass. And that's what encouragement does too, that I get caught up and replay the same thing over, but encourage us to take the next step.
And so often in encouragement, if we're the ones encouraging, we may think to ourselves, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that important to show up for this or to, you know, whatever it might be. But one thing that's true in encouragement is little things are big things.
Amen.
And even though it may not seem like a big deal to us, to the one that we're showing up for, the one that we're doing this for, to help them, to show them that love, it can make a world of difference.
Oh, man. Yes.
Well, Jeff, again, we appreciate your time. We know that you're a busy man and you've got plenty of things that you could be doing right now, but we're thankful that you've come to be with us here in the studio and sat down to discuss this subject. I know I certainly have been encouraged by it. Always thankful to hear about the good work that you're doing there at North Jefferson and all the souls y'all are working to bring to God. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, brother. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have to ask, the quote earlier on, was it Marshall Keeble?
What's that? Which one was that?
Preach when it wants to hear it.
Yeah, that's who said it. Yeah,
there it
that's
is.
Marshall Keeble. There he goes. I love his idea on repentance, too. That dog repented. Yes, you got to hear the whole story. But I don't know how long we had, and I appreciate the time you gave. I don't know how much I was supposed to have, but I know how much I took. And so
you took the perfect amount of time.
Okay, thank you.
We enjoyed it very much. Thank you guys for being on with us.
Yes. Thank you all for joining us on this episode. We're thankful, like I said at the beginning, for all of you who join us and listen in. And our hope and our prayer is always the same for ourselves, but also for each of you, that every day we could grow closer to our God and we could live lives that are going to be more pleasing to Him, and they're going to help bring others to heaven with us. You have been listening to That You May Grow. Mm-hmm.